Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, He'll do the same thing for you.
Right, man.
Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
What happened to the music, brother? We had a technical difficulty?
Technical difficulty, yeah.
Oh. Alright, you can't like get me set for the music, man. Uh-oh. And then the music don't come, man. Wow. Well, let's go into the show.
Yeah.
We don't need no music.
Okay.
Go ahead. Wait a minute, hold on.
I can't.
Hey, Nurse Carmen, can you do your intro, please?
Yes. Welcome out there on podcasting. Hello out there. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening and welcome to another hour of our conversation. I want to start out by saying that there is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is, you simply change form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is nothing but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you will know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnations. Others have judged you, and from their judgment, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand the God who will not act as a human would, you are lost. Your religion is your attempt to find yourself again. Everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life, and therefore the basis of the religion. If you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting you through your paces to see if you are worthy, then your religion begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then religion seems insane. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, then your religion starts to hold together. But if you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then religion falls apart. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in his love and wrath in his anger, then religion makes perfect sense. If you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passion in her ecstasy, then religion is useless. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well.
How is it, Brother Messenger, that you think people are so conditioned to believe that we have to please God?
Because of religion. Because, once again, because religion has you feeling as if God has some ego that needs to be filled, where he has to have his praise, his adoration, his appreciation, all of this stuff. If you believe these type of things, then this is why you believe these things. Because religion has taught us these things. Even though, as we think about it today, we really know within ourselves that there's something wrong if this is how God is reacting. If we use, if each and every one of us use our own self as an example, for instance, if we all had all the money in the world, would we care about somebody else? Would they have to give us their money? If you had all the money in the world, do you need money from somebody else?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Not right. Even a little bit. So if God is love, why does God need love? If God is God, why do God need you to bow down and worship him as God? These are questions that I'm throwing out to us for sake of conversation, you know, because these are the things in which religion would have us to believe. That if you don't, as they say in the mafia thing, if you don't kiss the ring, then you've got to deal with the consequences. And so because this is the way we act as humans, we automatically assume that God is acting like this. And as I've said so many times in our conversation, what we need to stop doing is stop trying to make God human and for us to understand that we are God. And this is what is really important, and this is what has kind of got us off balance. This is what has got us, even at this point in our conversations, still holding on. Because of what it is that they've been taught to us. And one of the things, and what happens also, is because of who we are, some things have happened for us that happened for the good. And so we tie that goodness that has happened from our teaching and our training from religion. But what we have to understand is, if you never went to a church before, if you never read a Bible before, if you do good, good is coming back to you. It's just that simple. It does not matter who you are or what denomination or what religion or what color or anything. Those things do not matter. Because the universe has been set up that it is going to work this way regardless. And this is one of the reasons why throughout many of the conversations I've said that church is not a necessity. I'm not saying that you can't go, because if you go and you feel as if that is something that is bringing you closer to God, then by all means go. As Jesus said, as often as you do these things, do them in remembrance of me. So if you consider that being your way to get closer to God, then go. It's not a problem. I just need for everyone to understand that it is not necessary. It is not part of the plan. It's not a as they would say, a commandment. That is not what it is. It is a teaching that has been taught to us, and we hold it to be self-evident that it is true. But it isn't true. And I'm quite sure each and every one of us know some people that never been to church. Never been to church, and they're still doing well as far as they are concerned, according to the path that they've chosen. And church had nothing to do with it. But I bet you if you talk to them, they got that good-natured spirit. And that's what it's about. It's not about the hallelujah and the amens and the praising God. God does not need our praise. when you know who you are, you don't need somebody to signify or to confirm it when you already know. How many of us need somebody to tell us who we are right now? Sister Carmen, do you need someone to tell you right now that you're Sister Carmen?
Do not.
Sister T, do you need somebody else to tell you right now that you're out of the country? Or are you back?
That would be a big fat lie because I'm in my home.
Okay. Okay, so you don't do you need somebody to tell you that you're in your home right now?
No, sir. I'm in my home and I know it.
And you know it. And that's the same God knows who he is. So because God knows who she is, she don't need you to tell her. She doesn't need your praise. Because whether you praise her or not, she is still God. And I say she because I want to switch it up to let you know, because God is neither he nor she. God occasionally used the feminine pronoun to jar you out of your thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you think God is another, and that would be a large mistake. And I'm back to my boy Hitler. Hitler went to heaven for these reasons. There is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. His actions, what you would call mistakes, the actions of an unevolved being, and mistakes are not punishable by condemnation, but dealt with by providing the chance for correction or evolution. The mistakes Hitler made did not harm or damage to, I'm sorry, the mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those who death he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage, like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. The people who were left behind mourned their death only because they did not know of the joy into which these souls entered. No one has had experienced death ever mourn the death of anyone. So the statement that death was neither less untimely and therefore somehow wrong suggests that something could happen in the universe when it is not supposed to. Yet, given who and what God is, that is impossible. Everything occurring in the universe is occurring perfectly. God hasn't made a mistake in a very long time.
Amen.
We just say never?
Okay.
I mean, the real God. We can just say never.
Okay. And you're correct. Mm-hmm. You're correct. But we have a tendency, once again, to think more highly of ourselves and think that we have more power. It kind of goes to the analogy in which they use the creature Satan, that he has more power than God, that he can actually battle with God. So when you see the utter perfection in everything, not just those things with which you agree, but and perhaps especially those things which you disagree, that's when you begin to achieve mastery. When you can see the perfection in stumbling, when you can see the perfection in falling, when you can see the perfection in a tree. They told us a story of Adam and Eve. They told us in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade catechism that, well, you may not have sinned, and certainly babies haven't, but Adam and Eve did, and we are their descendants, and thus inherited their guilt as well as their sinful nature. You see, Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, partook of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus sentenced all of their heirs and descendants to separation from God at birth. All of us were born with this original sin in our souls. Each of us shared in the guilt. So we are given free choice to see. I guess if we do the same stuff as Adam and Eve and disobey God, or if we can overcome our natural inherent tendencies to do bad and do the right thing instead, in spite of the world's temptation, then God would send us to hell. Unless we repent. If we say we're sorry, make a perfect act of contrition, that God will save us from hell, but not from all suffering. We'll
the
still have to do a
purgatory.
Huh?
That act of contrition, the word contrition didn't come out right, did it?
No.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Maybe he's not all that familiar.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Messi.
But not from all suffering. We still have to go to purgatory for a while to cleanse us of our sins. And so how long do we have to dwell in purgatory? Depends. We have to have our sins burned away. It's not too pleasant. And the more sins we got, the longer it takes to burn them out, the longer we stay. That's what they've been told. One of the religions, this is what they tell you. But at least you don't go to hell, which is forever. On the other hand, if we die in mortal sin, we go straight to hell. Mortal sin. Mm-mm. If we die with a sin on our souls, we only go to purgatory. Mortal sin sends us right to hell. So what is an example of these sins? Mortal sins are serious, kind of like major crimes, theological felonies, things like murder, rape, stealing. Venial sins are rather minor, theological misdemeanors, like missing church on Sundays, or in the old days, eating meat on Fridays. But now think about it. We, and this is a fact, do you know, just think about the thought that this God of ours, he forces us to worship him, to go to church on Sunday under pain or punishment. Failure to attend Mass is a sin, yet if not confessed, if you die with that sin on your soul, you have to go to purgatory. So what I'm trying to do is just give us an example of some of what religion bounds us to, what religion instills in us, that fear, even though in the writings it tells you that God is not giving you the spirit of fear. But we still hold on to this fear because this is what it is that the religions teach us. So it's important for us to think about some of these things as we still hold on to some of them. And it's time for us to shake the bondage. Why? Because we know better. We know who it is that we are. And we've all experienced the God working in us. And God said that he would never leave us or forsake us. So if he's always working in us, then we've got to start holding truth and standing firm on some of these crazy stories. Let me ask you this. What happens, let's say, in the Catholic religion where you got to do your confessions and stuff like that? What happens if a sin is committed between confessions? and then you get into an accident or something and die. What happened?
The Catholic says from your soul.
Say that again.
If my Catholic memory serves correctly, it stays in your soul because it goes with you. It's not forgiven.
I didn't mean to laugh, but so even after you're dead, you still got that on you.
You take that sin with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Hey, some people buy it.
No, I'm just saying. So it just sounds different. Even after I'm dead and gone, you still got that on you. So there's no escaping it.
Right.
Help me.
Well, I mean, truth of the matter is that's the same way it is with Baptists. If you don't ask for forgiveness and get baptized, you taking that with you.
Ha!
You know, thank you, man. Thank you for clarifying that, because that is so true. And it sounds just as crazy, man. So
just
even
as
after
crazy.
Even after I'm dead, if you ain't do the right thing, you don't escape this. You take this with you.
You take it with you. And you're put into a fiery pit for all of eternity. And this is from, how can you say that and then say that God is so loving? Well, let me tell you this. All events, all experiences have as their purpose the creating of opportunities. Events and experiences are opportunities. Nothing more, nothing less. It would be a mistake to judge them as works of the devil, punishments from God, rewards from heaven, or anything in between. They are simply events and experiences, things that happen. It is what we think of them, do about them, be in response to them that gives them meaning. Events and experiences are opportunities drawn to you, created by you individually or collectively through consciousness. Consciousness creates experiences. You are attempting to raise your consciousness. You have drawn these opportunities to you in order that you might use them as tools in the creation experience of who you are, and who you are is a being of higher conscience than you now know, now that you now exhibit. Because it is God's will that you should know and experience who you are. God has allowed you to draw to yourself whatever event or experience you choose to create in order to do that. Other players in this universal game join you from time to time, either as brief encounters, temporary teammates, long-term interactors, relatives and family, dearly loved ones, or life path partners. These souls are drawn to you by you. You are drawn to them by them. It is a mutual creative experience expressing the choices and desires of both. No one comes to you by accident. And there is no such thing as a coincidence. Nothing occurs at random. Life is not a product of chance. Events like people are drawn to you by you for your own purpose. Larger planetary experience and developments are the result of group consciousness. They are drawn to you as a whole as a result of the choices and desires of the group as a whole. Now, just what I just said right there, I just want us to think about this. Remember, there is no such thing as coincidence. Nothing occurs at random. Life is not a product of chance. It is what we bring to us. We have to understand who we are. And when we begin to understand who we are, then we can better understand why these things are happening. And this is why it's just so unfair for us to either blame the devil or praise God for something that you did. If it's good, it came from God. If it's bad, it came from the devil. When it all came from you. And if we could use this moment just a second or two just to reflect and think about some of the different things that went on in our life. And tell me what the common denominator was in all of the things, good or bad, that went on in our life.
You.
That's correct.
Not you, but you know what I mean.
Right, yes, but you're correct. You. It is you. You are 100% correct. That is the common denominator. Now, we'll try and take it and spread it out amongst everyone instead of accepting the fact that it is us. We are doing this, and because we didn't get the result that we were looking for, we try to shift the blame on somebody else because I was looking for this to happen. And because that didn't happen, it's somebody else's fault. The devil messing with me again. And then when it turns out the way you want, oh, God bless me. You blessed yourself. But here's the real tricky part about it. When we say that God blessed me and we got what we want, we don't use that again. Because if he did it the first time, according to your thinking, won't he do it a second time?
Mm-hmm.
But we won't go to that. We'll go to something again different. So it's important for us to really, really, really start to take heed to what is going on around us. And see it for what it really is, not what it is that our mind is telling us, but for what it really is. And you know, it's one thing that I've always said throughout all of our conversations, all things are working together for the good. And if we trust and believe this, then we can walk in the knowledge of knowing, in spite of what it may look like. It's working for my good. I went to the store and I lost my wallet. Oh, that's the worst thing in the world. It's working for your good. And so what you need to do in a situation like that is see it from the other side and not from the quote-unquote negative side, but see it from a positive side. So I thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight, Sister Purr. I'm so happy that you went, and I pray you had a great time, but I'm even more happier that you had a safe return and you're back, and I pray that things are going as you call it into existence to be, and not only for you, Sister Purr, but for each and every one of us, because we now know, and we need to start walking in that knowledge. Go ahead, my brother, co-producer, do what you do.
I do thank you for tuning into the Messenger Edition of High Sahaj on Blog Talk Radio. It's real simple, folks. It's real simple. All you have to do is just live. I mean, that's all you have to do. And you have to lose the concept of if I don't support this church, or if I don't fellowship in this manner, that is going to be damning to my soul. While I don't not fellowship, it is beautiful and wonderful. Just understand that you're already prepared. You're self-contained for everything that you need on this earth that's going to get you back to the Creator from which you came. So I say get in touch with yourself and learn that we are heavenly bodies. And on that note, I say good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Lord.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Go within,
good night, family.
Or go without. Good night.
Mm-hmm.